Welcome to another edition of Under the Bus, where three old guys who've been on a few buses in our day extol the virtues of sport, but also throw a lot of sports people under the bus. I'm Bob Stevens from ESPN SportsCenter's Golden Days, joined by Curry Kirkpatrick of Sports Illustrated's Golden Days, although they may have more Golden Days ahead. They just got sold this week to somebody who reportedly cares. And Hall of Fame coach Rich Basirico from basketball's Golden Days as well. It is you two guys' favorite week of the year. I mean, Christmas Day was Sunday night, the setting of the NCAA basketball brackets.
I didn't give any presents, though. You give me a present?
We got presents coming.
You got presents. Right. You got to fill out a bracket. We're going to get to those brackets in just a little bit. Three of the number one seeds, though, are coming in off a loss. Three Big East teams think they got snubbed. Seton Hall, Providence, and Rich and Curry's favorite team, Rick Pitino's St. John's Red Storm. Oklahoma, Indiana State, and Pitt also had arguments. Most of those teams have all turned down invitations from the NIT. The Big East only got three teams in. The old Pac-12 has four. The mighty ACC only got five. The Mountain West got six teams in. How about that?
I'm just setting the table.
Throw somebody under the bus here. That's what I want you to do. I'm just setting it all up.
Well, the Big East only getting three teams, I think, is bad. I really do. And the Mountain West getting...
But you're a big Big East guy.
I know, but the analytics go by... Everybody goes by analytics. They're ranked second in the country in terms of league and strength of the league. Only getting three. Come on now. The Mountain West getting six... Then how come the committee out of those six teams, the highest ranked in the seedings is San Diego State at five?
Okay.
And then we got one at eight, three teams at 11, a 10th seed.
Getting in the weeds,
three,
Rich.
And one, and New Mexico wins the tournament, and they're 11
Nobody
seed.
Nobody cares about the Mountain West. So
but then why do they get six teams?
Exactly.
Why do they get six teams?
The state of South Carolina got as many teams in as
it's the Big East.
Three teams, right?
I know. Clemson.
South Carolina, Clemson, and Charleston.
That's
You know, which is where we're coming from.
And our problem, And our problem with that is?
No problem. Charleston won their tournament. Yeah. They should be
The
in,
reason
obviously.
All those Big East teams didn't get in were the all the upsets in the conference tournament.
Right.
You know, NC State, Oregon, UAB, all these teams knocked out the Big East teams. But I thought the questions on the draw, you say – You have a problem with the seeds, too.
I think the Big East should have more than three teams. I mean, what hurt them, and we talked about this before, was Georgetown having a down year and DePaul being awful. And that brought down the rest
it
of the league.
It brings down the whole conference.
I know, but that's unfair. I mean, that's not their problem that those two teams stink.
Well, at least Indiana State didn't get in, so we don't have to hear about Larry Bird for the rest of the week. And he wouldn't do any interviews anyway. So
there you go.
You know, you talk about the analytics and the snubs and Kim English of Providence, who also probably should have got in. He went crazy. He said the analytics are bullshit. Can we say that? He said analytics. He came right out and said analytics are bullshit. He said we might as well beat people if we're going to run away. We should run it up 40 and 50 points. And I never knew that, but that counts in the analytics.
Yeah.
If you beat a team by 50 instead of 20.
That's wrong because you don't want coaches running up the score.
And, the head of the committee changes each year, maybe every two years. They got a guy this year, Dr. Charles McClellan, who's the commissioner of the SWAC, whatever that is. And, of course, he came out, and he was the face of the committee when he comes out and explains. And he actually said they were trying to explain why North Carolina was a one and Iowa State was a two. That was a big controversy going in. Who's the former coach of Villanova? Jay Wright. And the other guy said all week that Iowa State should have been a number one and North Carolina dropped to number two. Well, they asked McClellan about this, and he, like, babbled on. He said something about it. One of his lines was, well, we put North Carolina number one on the four line. You know, what he meant was they were the fourth number one. See, but the guy can't. And then he said, and one of their principles, one of the committee's principles, is the first game of the season is as important as the last game of the season. That's patently ridiculous, don't you think, as a coach?
Yes.
I mean, your team changes from five
absolutely.
Days earlier, not five months.
That's right. Yeah.
So what are they talking about?
I think you should look at teams that are peaking at the time. You're right. St. John's was peaking. They won their last six games until they lost to Connecticut. You got to be peaking and playing your best ball.
Well,
and some of these teams that got in,
The right Patino is coaching in this tournament.
Oh, wow.
And that's Rick's son, Richard, who got New Mexico in, won their tournament, did not play well going in, and yet won the tournament. And that's,
but they're the lowest seed of all this, of the six teams that made it from their conference.
Then they probably deserve that.
So, well, a lot of people are picking them to make a couple of rounds.
He's got some good players.
But I love, I mean, while we're under the bus, we should look around and see – again, Ricky Pitino, because his reaction to not getting in was fabulous. I mean, he said, you know, he said this, the NET, whatever that is fraudulent. We shouldn't even speak of that, speak of that number. He said it's fraudulent, and he said, we'll never mention that word again. We should never mention that word again. And then he said, you know, we did everything right. You know, we played a tough schedule. We won six at the end. We still didn't get in. And he's bitching and moaning as he always does. He said, but we're not going to gripe. We're not going to say we got screwed. He said, you know, because bitterness, he said, that's bitterness. I don't want to deal with it. I've had enough bitterness to last my lifetime. You know, which is basically Ricky saying, get me to my psychiatrist. I mean, maybe the committee took Rick's own review of his own team.
Maybe.
Remember when he said, we have no lateral quickness, we can't move, we're not fast?
If I'm on the committee, I'm writing that down.
You're taking those notes. But, you know, they weren't even the last four in. You know, so actually people are saying they should have been in, but if the other four teams didn't win, they might still have gotten in.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's not an easy job.
I have a problem with the committee because a lot of those people, there's a 12-person committee.
Right.
I'll bet half those people are not basketball.
They're
people.
Not.
They're from conferences. They're from football conferences. I don't think they see a lot of games. So the eye test disappears. But the eye test is important.
Very important.
The ACC, for instance. At the end of the season, in the conference tournament, Pittsburgh was terrific. They had a great finish season. They beat Duke at Duke. They almost beat North Carolina in the tournament.
Yep.
They look so much better than Virginia.
Oh, Virginia should have gotten in.
Which got in and Pitt didn't, because Virginia's resume is so much better than Pittsburgh's. So there goes your eye.
The ACC, I mean, North Carolina obviously was the best team in the ACC. After North Carolina, Duke, they're pretty good. But, I mean, Virginia getting in, they can't score. I don't understand. Like, looking at teams, it should be an eye test. I have a quick story. A good friend of mine was on the committee, Rick Peter Roby. And I went to a game with him, and we saw John Feinstein, who knew Peter. Mm-hmm. And Peter introduces me to John. And
Feinstein
John
was a writer.
A writer, correct.
Washington Post.
And he's given Peter a hard time, saying, you're the only guy on the committee that has any basketball background. Peter was the head coach at Harvard at one time. Yeah. And I started thinking about, what is he talking about? But he was right.
No,
of course all the committee members, no one had a basketball background but Peter at the time.
Some of the ADs are from basketball schools, like –
From basketball schools.
But that's only one. That's only one of the committee. They get the SWAC guy is now the head of the committee. So, you know, I don't get this, because, as I said, I think the eye test, you know, they don't go by that at all.
Well, they should be, but they should.
Speaking of under the bus in Virginia and Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
How about the coaching move of the year with him in the ACC semifinals?
Okay.
I mean, Tony Bennett, you know, was a crooner. The crooner, I left my heart in San Francisco. This Tony Bennett left his brain in Charlottesville. How about they're up three against NC State, 5 seconds. Virginia has their best free throw shooter on the line. So Bennett pulls his whole team back. He thinks he's going to make the one. He misses the kid O'Connell from NC State, runs the ball down the court, and Richie had three fouls to give.
Right.
Just keep calling to make him call a timeout.
That's
instead, he didn't get to the guy until he gets in front of the bench. And the guy banks it in, rolls around the rim, in overtime, and NC State wins in overtime where DC Burns, whatever, the dancing fatty bear, he goes crazy. He destroys Virginia in the overtime. He destroys North Carolina in the final, and NC State gets in.
Right.
Because of the crooner can't put a guy on. I mean, come on.
Well, they were up by five with, 3 minutes to go, and had one of the best foul shooters shooting two. Misses both,
Oh, they choked.
And you don't take people off the foul line. I'm totally against that. You put two people. I know you don't want to foul them. You tell you guys, we're not going over the back. But what happens? The ball comes off the boards and it comes into your hands. You don't give your kids a chance to get an offensive rebound. You got to put at least two people on the lane when you're shooting foul shots, regardless of what the score, the time, and so forth. And when you have fouls to give, my goodness, you got to foul.
Well, I mean, he just gave the game away.
He did, and he's a great coach.
And he said afterwards, we didn't want to foul anybody in the act of shooting.
Oh, come on. When you dribble off the court, you foul them.
Exactly. They had nobody anywhere near O'Connell. O'Connell's a former, by the way, Mineola, Long Island, by the way.
Nice.
All-American in lacrosse in high school.
Wow.
He got a lacrosse scholarship to Maryland. Instead, he went basketball to Stanford. He went from Mineola. What's the Catholic school? Chaminade.
Yeah.
He was a star there in lacrosse and basketball.
Wow.
Went to Stanford for 3 years. Or maybe, I think he graduated Stanford.
And then went to
NC
State.
Because of this, he's back at NC State playing.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Terrific kid, by the way.
You two guys ought to be on the committee.
Yeah, most definitely.
I mean, although nobody from west of the Mississippi would ever make the tournament if you two were on the committee.
Wait a minute.
As it is, because that's going to be my rant, and I have always thought this, that I would throw the committee under the bus for this. Pick your 68 teams. I don't care. But then the 16 furthest west, you go that way.
Well,
the 16
down
in the south, you go that way.
Right.
The 16 in the east, you go that way. The 16 in the Midwest, or who's left, you know, because it should be that way.
When they had 24 and even when they went to 32.
Well, they were cheap back then.
You stayed
home because they didn't want you having to travel.
Of course, in those days, a lot of people critical of UCLA's, eight and ten years.
Right.
They played the regional and Pauley Pavilion in home court all the time. So
I understand that part. But instead, we got College of Charleston playing Alabama in Spokane.
Correct.
That's good. We got Auburn. We got Auburn and Alabama both going to Spokane. And we got, Yale is playing Auburn.
They can share the plane.
Yeah, I got it. They could. They could go together.
Well, you're getting into the brackets. We're going to get to that.
But I just think you should be cognizant of where you're sending people, because all of this supposedly back in the day it was for the players and it was for the fans.
And just think of the money it costs these teams to go
and the money
cross country
fans.
Back.
I mean, well, it's not for the fans.
Who from Charleston is going to go to Spokane?
My nephew.
Okay, you got one. Good.
And his wife.
So there's two tickets on the Alaska Airlines flight to Seattle out of Charleston.
Well, speaking of the West, I'll bring up a West team. How about Dan Monson?
I think that's one of the great stories. You guys have been talking about coaches. Guy gets fired.
Dan Monson gets fired on Monday, and he wins the tournament on Friday. You know, a lot of people forget, he started the great tradition at Gonzaga.
Absolutely.
He got them to the Elite Eight, which made Gonzaga a household name. In March, they're a household name now. And he left after, 2 years?
2 years.
Went to Minnesota. Yep. And that's how Mark Few got the job as his assistant at Gonzaga. Then Monson he's been at Long Beach for 17 years.
You know, I did not know that because I'd lost track of him after Minnesota.
He was so gracious. You know, they interviewed him after the game, and he talked about Jim Harbaugh's line about who's got it better than me. Nobody. He said, I've got it better than anybody. But, you know, the guy that doesn't have it better than anybody is the Long Beach State athletic director. And I looked him up. His name is Bob. Seriously, I looked him up. He's a new guy. He just took over in August.
Oof.
His name is Bobby Smitherin. Yeah. Smitherin. Well, if Long Beach wins the whole thing, Smitherin's job is going to go up in smithereens. I mean, how does this happen?
They should bring him back. I would love to do that. Yeah, let him. You know,
if he wins a couple games,
absolutely
they might
bring him back.
Heck, if he wins a couple of games, he could get a better job. What are you talking about? He doesn't have to stay at Long Beach.
When's the last time Long Beach State went to the tournament?
The Tarkanian days.
Back. That's a long time.
Yeah, way
he's
back.
He's had him in a couple.
Yeah. But they have not been a factor, and they certainly weren't this year. They lost their last five or something like that.
There's a coach that got fired. How about a coach that retires? I mean, the guy Keith Dambrot gets Duquesne to the tournament for the first time in 47 years. Duquesne, which was a name in my past when I was a kid watching Niagara University. I used to watch the great Duquesne teams played, and they were really good. Well, this guy, Keith Dambrot, he coached LeBron James in high school.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. And then, he was his high school.
Yeah,
coach.
He was coaching Akron.
He was LeBron's high school coach.
And he was a big,
that's at St. Mary's. Yeah.
And Dan Brott was a big Akron guy. He was in Akron, and he only went back to Duquesne because his dad played there. His father was a really great player at Duquesne. But the favorite part of my favorite story in the conference tournaments was in the A-10. Is that where they played the A-10 tournament? Where Duquesne beat Virginia Commonwealth in the final.
BC, yeah.
18 minutes to go.
Yeah.
18 minutes to go, the confetti came down. All the confetti came down. Red, white, and blue confetti. And Kevin Harlan went crazy on the mic. He was saying, somebody hit the wrong button. I mean, the confetti came down with 18 minutes to go. You know, I called it the premature ejaculate confetti. Is what it was.
On that note, you better stop. On that note, we better take a quick break. We're going to give you the brackets when we come back. We're going to tell you who's going to win this whole thing. Stay with us. We're going to throw other teams under the bus.
For sure.
We welcome you back to Under the Bus, along with Curry Kirkpatrick and Rich Basirico. I'm Bob Stevens. All right, let's kind of go through the brackets. We're not going to pick each game, but maybe set up who you got snaking their way through. Let's start in the East. That's the upper left-hand corner of most everybody's printed out bracket.
Can I throw a couple of things out, little tidbits here?
Yeah.
Okay, top overall seed, number one seed, which is Connecticut, has not won the tournament since 2013. The number one overall seed.
Number one. Okay.
Okay. Two, the repeat champion hasn't advanced to Sweet 16 in the last six tournaments.
Wow.
So all these people are picking Connecticut. That was a little information to give you ahead of the game.
What? Are you guys picking Connecticut? Are you picking Connecticut?
I am too.
You're both picking Connecticut at the end. Okay. Well, let's figure out how we get there.
Well, Connecticut kind of has a complaint because, they got – they're the number one seed, and yet they probably got the toughest draw, I think.
I mean, they got
some really, they got three of the top tournament champions in their draw.
Right.
They've got two other teams that made the Final Four last year, Florida Atlantic and who's the other one? San Diego State.
That's right.
They might have to play Florida Atlantic in a second round, to play Auburn, to play Iowa State. I mean, they're all tough defensive teams, all those teams. I mean, they're playing Florida. They're probably going to play Florida Atlantic in the second round. Mm-hmm. And this is basically the same team that made the Final Four last year. Of course, Dusty May, their coach, is apparently looking around at all the other jobs that are going to be open. Louisville, Michigan, he's the target. But, who knows? I think Connecticut got the toughest draw.
Well, there's 11 tournament champions in the East playing in the East brackets. That's a lot, It's and there was 21 teams that was seeded number one going into the tournament that lost. So that's why it's so wide open.
Right. I got Auburn beating Connecticut.
I got Auburn playing Connecticut.
I got them playing, and I got Auburn winning the game.
Yeah, well, good for you.
I got Auburn winning the whole thing.
I've
been bagging on the top teams all year. I've been asking you guys every week on this thing. Is anybody any good? Are these really good teams? So I had to pick. I couldn't pick any ones. I picked a two. I got one 2 seed getting to the Final Four. Getting to the 8, and one getting to the Final Four. That's all I got. So
well, the
I,
Auburn,
got, I got Auburn coming out of the East.
The Auburn-Connecticut game would be in the 16s.
Yeah.
And this game, I saw these two teams play 3 years ago in the Bahamas tournament. It went to double. It was a first-round game. It was one of the great games I've seen in the last 5 years. It went to double overtime, and it was a rock fight. And that's what it's going to be this time as well. Can you pronounce Auburn's star player? Can you name any Auburn players?
No.
That's what I thought.
Bruce Pearl.
But they have a great center named Janai Broome.
Yes.
Who's under the radar, but, he's going to be a lot of third-team All-American teams. He got famous this year for slapping the hand away of a spectator at Mississippi. And he looked around, and the spectator was Morgan Freeman. Remember this?
Right. Yeah.
He had to go over and apologize to Morgan Freeman. That's Janai Broome. But that's what made him famous. But they're really good. They've got tremendous guards, terrific defense. They're almost a mirror of Iowa State, which the winner of Auburn, Connecticut, would get in the 8.
Yeah, that's who I got them.
And Iowa State, you got to be impressed with Iowa State boat race Houston. in the championship.
Yeah,
the,
yep. That was very impressive.
Both Auburn and Iowa State coming out of their tournaments were really impressive. Yeah.
All right. So, down in the West.
Well, are we going to West?
Yeah, we'll go to
first,
the West next.
Next. Can I say something about the East still?
Sure.
I want to say one thing Illinois.
Yeah.
Illinois is probably going to play Iowa State in eights. Illinois' star player is a kid named Terrence Shannon, Jr. He's got the Jerry curls. He's got a great smile. He was arrested early in the season, which nobody talks about. He was arrested for rape at a football game in Kansas. The university suspended him for 8 or 10 games. Then he sued the university to get a hearing, to wait for his hearing. The judge folded, and he let him play. Illinois had to let him play. And they suspended his hearing until May. So he's like Trump. They've moved the bat back. But, you know, I think we should keep this in mind.
Yep.
On the other hand,
yes,
he's one of the great players in America. And his running mate, he has a kid named Marcus Damask, who played 4 years at Southern Illinois with a 3.99 grade average.
Wow.
He's like made all the All-American academic teams. I don't know if you saw Illinois in the late stages of the season, but Damask and Shannon they're the best twosome in the country, I think. So, you know, Connecticut may be in danger there too.
All right.
Every team's in danger, honestly.
I think really. So, yeah. Out West.
You can go West.
Out West, who do you like?
Well, here we go ahead.
Somebody likes North Carolina, so we can
well,
we can
I'm
go
not taking
away
any,
from
I'm
him
taking,
already.
I'm not taking any number two seeds because there's only a two seed that's made it.
You
got to go by these stats.
Rich,
the number two seed has only made the championship
the
one time.
Give me teams, not weeds. Give me teams. Give me players.
Well, I'm going to give you coaches.
Okay.
I think
right.
When it comes down to it, when you look at Iowa State and Auburn, I picked Iowa State because I think they have a better coach.
Okay.
You know, North Carolina.
Who's the coach at Iowa State?
I don't know his name.
How can you call him a better coach? You got to know his name.
Because I've
his
watched
him. His name is T.J. Altsenberger.
But he's terrific.
And he shows up
he's
in golf shirts.
He's outstanding.
He shows up in golf shirts.
Because he shows his muscles. He's
pumping
strong,
iron.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
All
I love him about that.
Yeah.
He's conditioned.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
he
some
is
of these
terrific,
guys
yeah.
on the sidelines, they are so out of shape, it's awful looking. But you got to look at – I think you have to look at coaches. Michigan State in the first round, I take Izzo.
I'll take Mississippi State.
Okay.
I'm a North Carolina guy, and I am terrified of playing Mississippi State in the second round.
How about Michigan State?
Round.
Are you terrified of that?
Well, not so much.
Okay.
But,
that's fair.
You know, because we beat
that's
Izzo
fair.
All the time. You know, I mean, he's a terrific coach, but we beat him all the time.
All right.
Mississippi State, we don't even know who they are, and they're really good.
They're good.
I mean, didn't they beat Auburn in the Raiders season? I think I saw
they
that rock fight. All these SEC teams are all of a sudden, you know, they're big and physical and tough and
well, see, yeah. like Bruce Pearl, and
that's why I've got Alabama beating it North Carolina in the 16 to get to the 8.
Well, the only
I think Alabama's good.
Alabama has this second-rated offense, but Bob, their defense is not even the top 110. That's the scary part.
He's been studying numbers, Rich. He's been up all night long doing
numbers.
College
of Charleston could beat Alabama. They could.
Because they run and shoot.
And they defend.
It'll be St. Mary's that will probably play Alabama in the second game.
I have St. Mary's losing.
Yeah. But that's not a team that can play defense.
I've got chalk in the West.
Okay.
North Carolina playing Arizona in Elite Eight, which the committee's been looking at that game all year.
Yeah.
Because that's the Caleb Love Invitational we play against his old team, but as you say, everybody's in danger. Can I bring up, because I've been waiting all year to bring up my team from the West, Grand Canyon.
Okay.
Grand Canyon has a really tough, they'd play Carolina in the eighth or something, but their first round against St. Mary's, they're being underdog. If they beat St. Mary's, they'd have to play Alabama. But Grand Canyon is, nobody even knows where they are. They're in the heart of Phoenix, Arizona, right near where they're going to play the finals.
Yeah.
They're the largest Christian school in America. 100,000 enrollment at Grand Canyon. Did anybody know that?
They only need 12 players.
Dan Marley, remember the great son? Dan Marley started the program at Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. They're now coached by Bryce Drew, who is famous for one of the great shots in tournament history for Valparaiso.
Right.
His brother is Scott Drew, who coaches Baylor. Grand Canyon star is a wing player named Tyon Grant Foster, and they say he's going to be a lottery pick. Grant Foster is no relation to Foster Grant, who I believe invented the sunglasses.
Yes.
And this just gets me. Do you remember the spokesperson for Foster Grant sunglasses? It was none other than Raquel Welch.
Okay.
The late and great Raquel Welch.
All right.
And what does Raquel Welch have to do with sports? Well, she posterized America when we were young men.
Yes.
You had our poster in your bag.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But right. What does Raquel Welch have to do with sports? I'll tell you what.
What?
She was in the first interracial love scene in American movie history. It was in a movie called 100 Rifles, a Western, where she left Burt Reynolds for the great Jimmy Brown, Hall of Fame running back.
Yeah.
And she and Jimmy Brown made out, first interracial, look it up.
Okay.
But Grand Canyon, to make the game against us, I think they'd need Jimmy Brown, Burt Reynolds, and Raquel Welch playing. So
all right.
I don't think it's that.
That's why you like Grand Canyon.
Yeah, well, that's why you like all these numbers. I wanted to get you away from the numbers and get you to Raquel Welch, which is more important.
Actually, I like her better than the numbers.
I got Alabama and Baylor in the eight with Baylor coming out. I think Baylor's
very good, but you're talking about teams playing well down the stretch. They're 6-5 in their last 11 games.
There you go. Rich has got every number available to mankind.
He's coming at it. All right, South region.
Oh, going south.
Let's go south. Okay. This is where I've got chalk, actually. I've got Houston and Marquette at the end, and I've got Marquette upsetting Houston
in Dallas.
Ooh, that's going to be tough.
How about starting earlier in the draw? I got James Madison upsetting Wisconsin and upsetting your Dukies.
Yep.
I have the same thing.
So
I have the same. I love it.
Brilliant minds.
That's great.
But that's about the only place I get squirrely with it.
I think health is a big factor in this region.
Of course.
Tyler Kolek, who's one of the great guards in Marquette, hasn't played for a couple of weeks. If he doesn't play, they're in big trouble.
If he plays,
they're probably going to play against Kentucky, and that's going to be coach against coach. You're not going to pick Kentucky to go anywhere, I'm sure.
Well, I have to go into the Sweet 16.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
That's for you.
Because of their talent.
I think Kentucky's going to get to Houston, and that would be offense against defense.
Kentucky and Houston, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, for a trip to the four.
Yeah.
I would pick Houston because of their
defense.
I would,
too.
I'd pick defense over offense.
And Kentucky could get bounced out early, too, right? It happens to them a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the Midwest, then.
Wow. Not giving much.
We're going to have more next week. We'll talk about the chalk next week when it makes it there.
Ricky Pitino Jr. is in the West, right?
Ricky Pitino Jr. is playing Clemson. Out in the West, yeah.
He's playing Clemson.
Clemson and then Baylor, and Baylor will take him out. So.
Well, you've got chalk in the Midwest, so you've got Purdue going.
No, I do not have chalk in the Midwest.
Okay, okay.
No. I had chalk in the South. But in the Midwest, I got Purdue. You know, I think the best game – game I hinge the whole brackets on is the Kansas-Gonzaga game. Who shows up healthy in the second round? If Kansas is healthy, Kansas is dangerous.
Right.
If Gonzaga's guard is healthy, then Gonzaga, I got Gonzaga going to the Final Four.
If he
could do that. They're hot. Few is a fabulous coach, and they're used to going to the Final Four.
Right.
They could do that.
I have both those teams losing early.
Rich has some numbers.
I do.
Well, you had some numbers about Gonzaga ending the season, probably, right?
No, I do not have numbers.
They were good.
Is Gonzaga, what seed are they?
Gonzaga's the five, and Kansas is the four.
All right, here's my last stat. A number five seed has never won a national championship.
He's not going to this year either, but they're going to make it to the Final Four.
Can I bring up, you mentioned injuries. I think Kansas, you know, their top two players have been out for a couple weeks. I don't know how they're going to be that well getting back. So I'm picking Samford to upset Kansas in the first round and to upset Gonzaga in the second round.
Ooh, I have Samford, that, too.
You guys like Samford at the Sweet 16?
Where is
like
Samford?
It.
Alabama.
It's a
Southern Conference suburb
of Birmingham.
Yeah.
And they play buckyball.
Right.
Because they're coached by Bucky McMillan, and all they do is run and shoot and press. I mean, the threes are going. They average 28 threes a game. It's called buckyball. And they're going to play at altitude in Salt Lake. I did get a region there.
There you go.
And they're going to play Kansas, which is weak anyway. It's not deep. It's not deep team. And with their two guys hurt, I think Buckyball is going to run Bill Self out of this place.
I've told you in the beginning, I didn't think Kansas was overrated. You gave me a hard time about that.
Well,
now, I know they have injuries now. I get it. Even before
but
the
they're
injuries.
Really weakened now. They're really weakened.
Well, their depth is.
I have no depth. No, that I'll go with. But I'm. All right. So who you got coming out of the Midwest?
I've also got another upset in the Midwest, and that's the Creighton Blue Jays. Nice.
Okay.
I've got them beating Purdue, as a matter of fact. I got them beating Purdue going to the Final Four. I have Creighton go to the Final Four.
I have Creighton go to the Final Four also.
Because their center, Kalkbrenner.
Can match up.
Terrific guy. He can match up with Zach Edey. Yeah. So I got Creighton going there.
I got Creighton going down in the second round to South Carolina. I got South Carolina making it to Tennessee. But then I got Tennessee coming through, Tennessee-Gonzaga in the Elite Eight.
South Carolina's beat Tennessee this year.
Yeah.
Gamecocks are going to have to play Oregon in the first round. Dana Altman of Oregon has never lost in the first round. I got Oregon.
Good stuff.
Yeah. I have Oregon. Did you copy
mine?
No, I didn't copy mine.
All right.
I think
so
he copied mine.
Final fours. What do you got?
We
don't have to know who wins yet, but
okay,
final four.
I have, my final four is UConn,
yeah.
Arizona, yeah. Houston, and Creighton.
Ooh. 1-2-1, and then a 3. Okay, Creighton. All right, what do you got?
Okay, well, I'm almost exactly what Rich is, although I'm a homeboy, so I got to go with the Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Connecticut, Tar Heels, Houston, Creighton.
1-1-1-3. Yeah, chalk.
Come on.
Now tell us what you have.
Oh, okay, I've got Auburn, Baylor, wow, Marquette, and Gonzaga. I couldn't pick a number one. I couldn't pick a number two. Do I even have a – yeah, I got a two. Marquette's a two.
Well, why can't you pick
Well, because I've been ragging on you guys about there's no great team this year.
Okay, who
and
won?
I just think this
you
is
– Gonzaga in this, the Final Four?
This is going to be the chaos tournament of all time.
You might be right.
And
what's your final –
it's been a chaos season.
What's your final – finals?
My final game is Auburn-Marquette. I got Auburn winning it.
Wow.
Marquette's guard got to be healthy or all this blows up.
That's true.
And you've got
UConn winning.
Your finals. I got UConn against Houston.
I have UConn against. Oh, I don't think I filled that out.
Houston, Creighton. See, that's why I didn't count.
Oh, yeah. I have Creighton beating Houston.
So you got Creighton and Connecticut.
And then I have UConn beating Creighton.
It's a Big East. You're such a Big East.
That's what we want to prove to the world. We should have more than three teams in the tournament. That's what we want to prove.
What's Creighton doing in the Big East anyway? Good grief. All right. Hey, we're going to be back to wrap things up. We might even throw a quick football note in, but maybe not. We'll be back in just a moment. Under the Bus. Welcome back to Under the Bus. Curry Kirkpatrick, Rich Basirico, along with me, Bob Stevens. We were going to talk a little NFL and a little golf maybe, but you know what?
We're in next week for that.
Yeah, this
sure.
We'll have 48 of the teams gone after this weekend. So when we come back, we'll only have 16 to talk about, and that'll take a little less time. And we'll have time for football, golf, and that kind of stuff. All right. Clean the notebooks out. Who else are you throwing under the bus? What else you want to talk about?
Rich.
First of all, the transfer portal.
Yeah.
It started yesterday. The NCAA playoffs is beginning, and now kids are wanting to leave their teams. This should be done after the tournament's over.
Didn't you tell me an NC State kid is
an
already...
NC State kid now
who's in the tournament?
Well, yeah, he's a sub, and he didn't play in the tournament because he was hurt. But he's already put his name in the portal.
But a lot of these guys are subs, Rich.
I know, but it's sad that you got kids who are playing on these teams, and there's over 100 kids in the portal already on day one.
Was this true last year? Did the portal open? Right
I don't
after
remember
season?
It.
I don't remember
early
either.
Last year. I think it's a stupid rule.
It's awful.
Wait for the tournament to be over in April.
You know what's going to happen next?
Time.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to go the other way. They're going to say, if you can go into the portal and you can play next week.
Yeah, that's – I don't doubt that, Bob.
Then we've got a real disaster.
Awful. All right. It's awful.
You had another point you wanted to make.
Well, it's a bigger point. Let me just point out.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Please
the team
do.
And a player. I just want to bring up the Pitino family again. Richie Pitino Jr. I don't know if he's a – they call him Richard. He's going by Richard. What is that all
Richard.
About? And Rick goes by Ricky.
Rick.
I don't know. Anyway,
Rick.
He coaches New Mexico, which has a lot of NBA DNA. Yeah. They have
Mashburn.
Jamal Mashburn Jr., who, of course, is the son of Jamal Mashburn Sr.
Does that make you feel old?
Their star is Eddie House, who's the son of Jalen House, the son of Eddie House, yeah. the grandson of Henry Bibby, by the
wow.
way.
Wow.
And
but Jalen Bibby's grandson.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so he's giving me a hard time by giving stats out. Look yeah. what he's giving out.
Well, his names. I mean, Jalen House has become a serious villain in his conference. He taunts players. He taunts fans. And they asked Pitino Jr., the coach, about him. And he said he had a great line. He says, "Well, you have to get over yourself when you coach this guy." Well, I wonder if his father had ever taken that advice. Get over yourself. That'd be a great Pitino plaque in the house.
Get over yourself. That's good stuff.
Go ahead, Rich. NIT.
Well, here's under the bus. I mean, these teams, St. John's being one, not going to the NIT and throwing Pitt, the NIT.
Pittsburgh. Pitt,
Providence.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Right.
Providence, not going to the NIT.
Above it.
They're above the NIT. Yeah.
Well, the NIT is not as big as it used to be, but it's still a big tournament. Now, it's not being played at the Garden this year. But these kids want to play.
Well, that's an under-the-bus move.
But what these players want to play for the coach. Of course they do. And it's because of the transfer portal, they want to start working on that. Let your kids play. This is a fun tournament. Sure, it's not the NCAA, but it's still a fun tournament. For St. John's not going there and telling the committee, we don't want to even be considered. Is wrong. Absolutely wrong.
Yeah, they're the host school. I mean, back in the day.
Right,
anyway,
right.
Although they moved to
the NIT. And he knows the history about the NIT Pitino, so he should,
I'm old enough or young enough to remember the NIT was as big as the NCAA back in the day. And it was a great tribute to go to the NIT. I think if you get to New York, and it used to be, they play on, they still play, the NITs. Played on campuses,
right.
And then the Final Four get to go to New York.
Right.
I think the NIT has been diminished when they move the Final Four out of the Garden to Indianapolis.
Absolutely.
Because if you're a kid playing at Oklahoma, you can tell your grandchildren, I played in the Garden. Now it's in Indianapolis. I think it's really hurt the NIT.
Absolutely.
But I still think it's wrong when these coaches say, we're not playing in it. It's just...
If they played at Hinkle in Indianapolis... That'd be okay.
They are playing there.
Nobody
playing at Hinkle.
Nobody knows who Hinkle.
The field house where they played.
That's Butler's home.
Butler.
Yeah, but it's.
Nobody knows Hinkle.
But it's Hoosiers.
Like the Madison Square Garden.
But it's Hoosiers.
Okay. It should stay in New York.
My school, North Carolina, didn't go to the NIT. They said, we're above it. It's not right.
It's not.
Well, but they're using an excuse as a transfer portal now. We need to start working for next year. This year. Play. Right.
These teams have 17 assistants now. They can put the assistants on the portal.
Absolutely.
Go check it out.
Yeah.
Check the numbers out.
I agree. For sure.
All right.
Without a doubt.
All right. You got anybody else you throwing under the bus? For basketball?
Next week.
I have the announcer from Fox. The announcer from Fox.
Yes, this is
word. When St. John's was playing Connecticut, and they were talking about Pitino and the Hurleys and how there's a connection there and so forth, and the announcer says, and Rick knew Danny before he was born. How's that possible? How'd you know him before he was born?
In the womb.
I guess
so.
That's a classic.
I think that opens up more cans of worms than we want to get into. All right. We want to thank Trey and Mahogany and the crew at USC Buford and our producer, Justin Jarrett. For Rich Basirico and Curry Kirkpatrick, thanks for joining us. Under the bus.
Under the bus.
Thank you.